Supervisor Frederick is ill. I did not hear from Supervisor Skolinski. He's absent. Full of the minutes of the previous meeting, which was December 7th, as everyone received those. We can have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Poole, seconded by Supervisor Grady to approve the minutes of the 7th of December. All those in favor, use the gavel.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved. Chairman, committee members, supervisors. I don't have a whole lot. We were just talking before the meeting started about that, our one snowfall here. And I'm sure you all experienced it. Highway Department took care of it, but it did take longer than normal. It wasn't a normal when you get those rain events. And I know John put in our packet here, there was damage on the lakefront. Quite a storm that came through and we had a lot of wave action. The parks, if people have been around, I had a little time over the holidays after we had that snow. The Silver Lake Park and the Fox River Park were jammed with people again with winter activities. The sledding hill over at Silver Lake was, or Fox River Park was somehow, they almost made it to the Dairy Queen. From that little hill through that chute. That stuff when it backed out, I was there two or three different days. Holy Christ. And I think it was maybe Saturday. Samantha Turkman was there with her kids. And she was being like the policewoman up there. She was letting one go at a time down the chute. She said there was a rescue call here yesterday. Apparently she had been there. But my God, if the kids just hung on, like, they were disappearing. You could just see a little dot. They almost made it to F.
Wow.
They're going down. I'm exaggerating a little bit. It was, the park was being well used and there were still people disc golfing too. But that's all I have. Any other supervisors? Anything? We'll move on. Citizens' comments. Any citizen would have 5 minutes to speak on any issue pertaining to these four divisions here. If not, citizens' comments are closed. And the first division report is highways here.
Yeah, we've been working on projects, mostly in the engineering phases, some in the right-of-way acquisition phase. The one construction project that will occur this summer is the reconstruction of the intersection of Highway S and Highway N. That project is an obligation that we have as part of an agreement with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the City of Kenosha, and Amazon to address some of the concerns in the traffic impact analysis. We're a little behind on the project, but we will be getting that constructed this summer. The rest of our projects are primarily in the engineering phase, and this month and next month there's going to be quite a few public informational meetings scheduled. Some of the larger projects that we're going to be having the informational meetings are curve on Highway W out in the town of Salem that we're reconstructing, the segment of County Trunk Highway F out in the town of Randall in the village of Twin Lakes, and the segment of Highway S from 31 to Highway H. All of those public informational meetings will be happening, I would say, within about the next 6 weeks. And I will email all of you the time, the dates, times, locations, and that. They're not all established, still being coordinated. But we like to try to get those in, those meetings located in areas where the most people that would be impacted are, so we tend to trap them at either town halls or some of the local schools in the areas. So I will email you the specifics on those public informational meetings that are coming up. Here, we've been also working on our fuel system replacement project that we have out here, where our system is barely operational, but we've been able to keep it going. We're still investigating the alternative of above ground or underground tanks. There's advantages and disadvantages of each, but we're going to make that decision in the very, very near future, because we would like to get that completed yet this year, and there's a tremendous lead time for the materials. It can be anywhere from 6 to 9 months to get tanks, either above or below ground, fabricated. So, and then of course there's the construction time too. And we're looking at having our own highway crews do some of the work too, just save a few dollars here and there as we're able to. So those are some of the larger activities that we have going on. Of course, we have all the maintenance activities. With the snow, there's been quite a bit of cleanup that we've had to do. We're still pushing back some snow, trying to scrape where we can today, and pushing back some of the snow. Otherwise, going to be pretty aggressively crack filling on both county and state roads, and there's always plenty of brushing and tree removals to do. So plenty to keep us busy on the maintenance side too. And that would be about all I have, unless you have any questions.
Anybody have a question for Gary?
Just give us a bird's eye view of what's going to happen at County N and County S. What type of configurations proposed for them?
Yeah, the design concept was determined in the traffic impact analysis when Amazon project was going to be was first being developed, and that traffic impact analysis showed us turn lanes both on S and Highway N, and certain lengths of turn lane to accommodate the amount of vehicles that they were predicting would be using that intersection. And so it's going to be, right now it's very angular, right. And it's going to be the new intersection will be located slightly further to the west and more at a 90 degree angle, and then there'll be, like I said, there'll be turn lanes both in both directions, okay. On Highway S, passing lane, and there'll be turn lanes in both directions on Highway N. And it will be constructed to accommodate the turning movements of trucks. I've gotten numerous calls, and I mean numerous, from residents in that area. Apparently, it's just the quagmire out there right now. And particularly with the additional, the seasonal traffic generated by Amazon. So it's not good. I don't like to hear that those are the current conditions, but it does show that what we're going to be doing with this project is very much needed. And I don't know if you've seen in the newspaper but their city is rezoning some additional land along Highway N there for additional development. So it doesn't stop, it just keeps coming, and we need to be proactive on these projects. And this one, unfortunately, we're a little bit behind on, and that mostly has to do with the funding source. We did get a T grant for that S&N intersection, so it's 50% funded by the state, which always seems to cause our projects to move at a snail's pace in the engineering phase, but we're moving along now, that project should be completed this summer then.
So it'll be done in 2016. Is it going to be signalized?
It will not.
Not be signalized?
Okay. No.
N has been deeded over to the city, right?
No.
No. N has not been deeded over to the city?
No. It is... I don't know what the status is, to be honest with you. I can't... It's difficult to even determine. There's two steps that are required on the city's part to get this jurisdictional transfer accomplished. The first step is to make sure that all of the right-of-way of the highway is within the municipal boundary of the city.
Okay.
And then the second is to actually get approval by the city council to transfer that road from the county to the city. To the best of my knowledge, neither of those steps have been accomplished, but my knowledge is only as good as what sure. The information I can get from the city is, and that's been pretty limited.
But that has been the intent all along, is that we made the improvements in N with the forethought that it would be transferred to the city.
The county board approved that jurisdictional transfer prior to Gordon Foods being built out there and before the road was reconstructed. That was, 8 years? I can't recall, but yeah.
It's at least six.
Yeah, yeah. So that's how long ago the county board approved the jurisdictional transfer, and it just hasn't happened yet. So,
right.
But that's not to say we're not continuing with that effort, because both myself and I know the county exec and Joe Cardamone from the Corporation Council are all working on trying to get this thing accomplished.
Well, good. That's what we're concerned about, is are we still trying to make progress in that direction?
Absolutely.
That's my question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
We will move on to the Parks Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First in front of you, we have the review and approve a resolution for the Kenosha County Snowmobile Trail funding. And this is to approve, this approves the DPW to submit the application to the DNR for financial aid, signed documents, and any other actions required to complete the project. And attached, you'll see it's for the amount for next year will be for $19,225.
So I think most of this committee has seen this before. For you, the governance, I'll explain it. It's money passing through the county where the conduit that receives the money from the state. And we give it to the snowmobile clubs, and this pays for all the maintenance they do on the trail. The money does not come from county taxpayers unless they're a member of the snowmobile club or have paid registration for a snowmobile. If you don't have a snowmobile, you're not paying for this. This is a fee-based payment. People that use the trails pay for the trails. But the state can't directly give this money to a snowmobile club. So. We apply for it, we get it.
We just like the middle name.
Right.
Move to approve.
Second.
Move to second to approve the resolution. Any discussion? You the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Matthew.
Mm-hmm. So next would be the status report. First thing is the Kemper Center parking lot reconstruction. The only thing that we are truly waiting on is the lighting that was damaged when they installed them. So they actually removed the heads and we're just waiting for them to be replaced. So we're assuming that it should be done shortly since they removed the ones that were damaged in the process. Speaking about Kemper, as was discussed earlier, we did receive a substantial amount of storm damage with the wind that was on the eastern side with gusts 50 plus mile an hour. Really threw on that stone. So in your packet, you can see a couple of the pictures on the substantial damage that was created by all the stone and debris that happened along the coastline over there, including it took a 4x4 section of our asphalt right out of the multi-use trail over there. So as of right now, that's going to be currently closed until we can patch that up and do some work on that area. Emerald Ashbore, we did receive another update. We are pushing back. We were hoping to start the EAB ash tree removal today, but it's being pushed back to next Monday, a week from today. So that's when they're going to assemble and hopefully start at Petrifying Springs Park and Golf Course, and then move on to our other two parks. So looks like the weather's finally cooperating with us. So next week will be the time that we'll be assembling and getting that project started.
Did they find the grounds that are frozen yet?
Yeah, underneath with the frost line. It's not where it needs to be.
Not at all.
No.
They're talking rain Thursday at 46, so.
Yeah. We're hoping for the best with this one, too, but it's a push's got to come to shovel. We got to get this project done. Silver Lake Disc Golf Course, we're halfway through our landscaping needs, but as you mentioned, it's been very, very popular with the back nine. Social media, I think, is a big key contributor where a lot of the people found out that the back nine was completed. So we're having a lot more traffic with that now that the baskets are installed. And we recently had the back nine GPS, so we'll be completing those scorecards in the off season. Next, we did finish up, and you'll see a picture of that over at Petrifying Springs Park, the WPA Monument. Looks beautiful. So that was done this last month. I think, 4,000-pound boulder was installed over there, so that's not going anywhere. So John did a great job installing that and helping out with that project. Petrifying Springs Veterans Memorial. The latest on there is we did send out a letter and hoping to have Congressman Paul Ryan's office assist in moving that cannon along, since we did not hear back from the necessary parties on that project. As far as a bill and demolition, Summers Fire Department, we did schedule it for the first week in February, so we are moving forward with that. So we kept on knocking on doors, and it's paying off, so they're saying, yep, we're ready for the first week in February. So that's good news. Also, you see the attached newsletter. So we had that sent out for the winter, so I think that was received well. And thanks to Dan Dreyer and his team that we sent that out to how many people now?
19,000 are in our database.
Yeah, so we're really partnering with golf and really bumping up the ante on how many people we send that out to. And also, we sent it out to the Kenosha Tourism Department, too. So we're hoping to get a little bit more footwork on that and get the good word of the parks out to the public. Other good news is we received three Carthage College interns to work for our Parks Division for this next semester. So one will be housed over at Pringle Nature Center, and then our division will have the other two interns. Our two interns, one will be a graphic designer, so they'll help out with all of our advertisement well ahead of time in the winter months, and get that ready to go out. And then we also have an environmental studies to kind of help us out with pet projects throughout the season as well. And then finally, we did receive a grant approval for the Fund for Lake Michigan and to plan the Pike River Stabilization Project. So we're going to be working with AES in the next few weeks on actually coming up with that plan and doing that work and assessment for the spring. And then last but not least, unfortunately with the warm weathers, we did have to cancel our ice fishing derby scheduled for the 16th of this month.
I went in there today. I'll drive in there every once in a while. I haven't been in there for a week or so. I went in there today. I saw it was wide open, and then I saw the advertisement for that. I said, I bet you that's not what it means.
Yeah. So I'm hoping for a better year next year.
Well, we've done real well with that, so.
Yeah.
Is that it, Matt?
That is it.
Any questions for Matt on anything? If not, thank you very much, guys. And we'll move on to golf.
We officially closed the golf courses on November 16th, but then we opened them on December 3rd, and we were open for 21 days, and had about 400 rounds played in December. So, you know, it wasn't anything world-shattering, but at least some people got out and got to have fun. It did help boost our holiday sales, so we did sell quite a bit more merchandise and gift cards because we were open. Right now, we're booking group events, restocking the golf shop, tuning up the equipment, freshening up the clubhouses, so getting ready for another good season in 2016. We'll have the 2016 golf rates for you guys in the next meeting in February for your approval. Don't anticipate a lot of changes, but we'll have those up for you for next month. We are going to be attending the golf show February 26th through the 28th, and then in Chicago, and then in March, March 11th through the 13th, up in Milwaukee. So those should really bring good recognition to our golf courses. We're on board with the ash tree removal. We'll be there on the 11th, and hoping that gets kicked off well. As far as the deep well project at Brightondale, we did get it videoed, and they found the pump at 530 feet. The casing, 12-inch casing, goes down about 480 feet, but the well is actually drilled to 1,818 feet. That's how deep that well is out there. And we did find quite a bit of corrosion on the casing, and so they're going to go in. Well, we're putting the bid specs together right now. We got to get new piping, a new pump, and we got to get the casing brushed out and jet sprayed so that we can remove the corrosion on that casing down to that 480 feet. And then there is even some stuff that they want to do deeper to the rock so that the well is as good as it can be. So we're working with CUNY Architect on this and putting all the bid specs together, and then we'll be going out for bid on that. We would like to get that up and running, you know, by April or first part of May anyway, because as soon as the spring thaw comes and whenever we need irrigation, we want that thing to work so that we can refill our lake so that we have water. Other than that, we're working on the Blue Spruce Irrigation Project. We did gather the information working with Tom Emmerich, our golf course irrigation consultant, and got the bid specs together, and we went out for bid today on that. We are going to have a pre-bid meeting on Wednesday, January 13th, and then we're going to open the bids Thursday, January 21st, and award that project after that. So we're looking to have this whole irrigation for the Blue Spruce done by the 1st of June. So we'll be getting after that as quickly as we can so that that doesn't affect our play. So in the bid specs, they are saying that all the holes have to be back to playable condition by 4 o'clock, you know, starting when our leagues start at the end of April. So it shouldn't affect our play on the weekends or our leagues. That's what's happening in golf.
On the well, have they tried to move that pump?
Yeah, it's out. It's taken out. The pipe is taken out, and the pump is out.
So we know.
We don't have a Silver Lake repeat.
Yeah. Yeah, the casing is not moved, but...
No.
Yeah.
But sometimes your whole life changes. Like it's overlay. Any questions?
Just a comment. You know, I think we all read in the paper that we had, if not the warmest, close to the warmest December on record around here. So for golf to reopen, that just shows amazing flexibility and I think adapting to the circumstance. That's what people want. They want to see higher profile things, which admittedly golf is to be responsible to the public. Right. So congratulations and thanks for making that happen.
And another profitable year. Thank you, Dan. Mm-hmm. Mike, facilities.
Start with the focus on energy status list. That's the one everybody has in front. Changes from last meeting are in red again. Probably the biggest change with this one is the solid red line on the complete list. That whole line item was moved from the ongoing project list to the complete. Pretty much we finished up that project at KCDC on the 10th. That was right after the last meeting, so I didn't say it was going to be done because I didn't know. That's complete. I'm working real well, happy to say. Other changes, I guess there's two other ones. At KCAD, we're replacing the boilers. And I changed that from the completion date of before the holidays to after. Right before the holidays got here, we kind of chickened out and pulled the plug on it, and got a little scared about the heat, so we don't want nothing happening over the days everybody was gone. So we're going to resume that shortly and anticipating the 22nd to be done for sure. Brookside, the bottom one there, replaced the hot water system. That's just ongoing still. It's wrapping up. It's getting real close, but I can confidently say it should be done by the 15th. That project's gone pretty well, considering. Status report for miscellaneous projects. At pretrial, we had a padded holding cell that was being redone. That is now done as of the 29th. They completed that over the holidays, and the Sheriff's Department loves it. So that went real well. We originally had budgeted $65,000 for that, actually less than that, and we found out it was going to cost quite a bit more from a couple of the bids we got. So we bumped it up to $65,000. In the end, once we went out to bid and did some research and a site visit to another company, we found out that they had a pretty good product that we were hoping they would get the bid, and they did, and it actually came in at $32,000 compared to the $65,000. So it's completed and done at from the $65,000 to the $32,000. So in hindsight, we're going to be looking probably next month with a letter to reappropriate some of those funds for another project at pretrial. The safety building, a new project to add to the list. I think Frank reported on it last time, but I'm actually going to handle it. We're going to upgrade the fire system there. Mainly, it's a fire panel only system change. But what we're going to do is upgrade some of the devices and make them addressable in the old safety building sector. By making them addressable, when something goes off like a smoke, you go right to the panel, it'll say exactly where that is instead of a whole zone, and then they have to search maybe 20 devices to find which one's going off. So that'll help maintenance a lot when that happens. That was actually awarded to Siemens for just over $34,000, and it's going to start any day. That's everything.
Thank you. Any questions? Frank.
Mr. Chairman. KC Highway Garage Roof Replacement Project, with the help of Jim Kupfer, we were able to get the consultant in and have him do a roof inspection, which included coring through the existing roof to see if we had any wet or damaged insulation and to make sure that what was on the original plans matched what's actually on the roof. We took care of that at the end of December. They just sent us the analysis and some recommendations. We're having a meeting later this week. Sit down. We'll do the bid docs, and we're looking at starting this before the end of April and completing this before the beginning of June. Any questions? Go on to the fire alarm system. This fire alarm system replacement project, really, the courthouse is what we've got the most advanced on. Our consultant, Dave Hansen, we've got most of the specs together. We're going to look into tying into a PA announcement system. So we're just checking on the details with that. That's something that the judges have asked for a while, and it's something that we might be able to incorporate into this. So to get some savings there, get to two birds with one stone by just adding a little module. So we're trying to finish up the specs, go out the bid. The install to this, because it's so comprehensive, it's everything, all the wiring, all the sensors throughout the whole thing, and having to juggle around core rooms. And we're looking at a 6 to 9 month installation time. So this is a big one. If no other questions, we've got the PSB generator, something we'll want to get to in this first quarter, but we've been concentrating on the first two things. And that's it for my end.
Well, that's nice that we've completed all these other projects that we have a list we can handle here. I know the county board and this committee was well aware of the major project on the roof, and also the study that we've had on all the roofs. I know this is going to be a first of projects down over the years here.
Yeah, this is, it's square footage wise. If fact, I mean, this is a big one. We're, it's very large, and we're talking over 100,000 square feet.
Right.
And, you know, we're talking, you know, $500,000, so more. This is a big one.
Yep. All right, then we'll move on, Ray.
Got a couple of things. Brookside updates. We were shooting for getting the bid package out on 12/15. Actually ran a few days late, got it out on 12/22, about a week later. There's a total of 16 trade, they're kind of by trade, sub-packages within the overall package that's out right now. We're getting Q&A, we're getting questions asked daily from potential bidders. We're going to have a pre-bid meeting for all the potential bidders on the 12th, next Tuesday, at 10 a.m. Bid opening is actually scheduled for 1/21 at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Hoping to make formal awards, at least for the initial stuff, like the site excavation and the things that need to start first, to have those within 2 weeks of that closing date. And again, weather dependent, you know, the weather's really good. It'll probably be hopefully sooner, but I would hope no later than April 1st for an actual groundbreaking type of a ceremony. So that's pretty much on track right now. Brookside, that's pretty much it. Pre-trial building, I wanted to follow up. I had gotten a report just before our last meeting, and there were some questions we had, so Mike and I met with the engineer on the 17th to go through one section of the building and get a little bit more detail, because there was still the crack that goes from the, literally from the basement, from the footings, all the way up to the third floor. And I wanted to be comfortable that he had rooted into that to really, because his initial report indicated that there was no significant structural issues with what was going on there. So he went back through, and he's supposed to get us a report now that will formally address not only what's going on there, but what the recommended fix is. He still was very comfortable that there is no structural, it's not like the soils are poor or compromised and there's something fundamentally going wrong. But by the same token, we're going to need to do some remediation of that and get that straightened out. And I want to make sure whatever we do it one time, we don't have to revisit it. So he's going to get us a report on that. And he did confirm with us that all the superficial cracks that you see, if you're ever down there when the building's damp, like after a rainstorm, you'll see little hairline cracks all over the building, that there is no structural concern with any of that. There are some recommended fixes that would make it look a lot worse than what it does right now, and they wouldn't be cheap. We asked them to look into if there were any preventative, preservative type sealants we could apply that would actually bring some value to the table and prevent the stuff from, you know, cracking anymore. And he's supposed to include that in the final report as well. So I expect that by the end of the month, we'll have that final report, and then I'll bring it to the committee just so you guys are aware of it. But at this point, it appears we've dodged what appeared to be a pretty big bullet. We also had them while we were here because there was, you know, these things kind of take on a life of their own. Once there's some people that see a crack in this building, then, oh, well, I'm aware of a crack in this other building. And so there was people in the PSB that were saying, oh, you know, I think there's some cracks in the basement there. And so while he was there, we had him take a look at that. And there, everything appears to be just your standard concrete curing. Some do follow the expansion joints as they're defined, and some don't, but there's nothing in there to be concerned about. So he was very comfortable when we walked. So we kind of put that to rest, too. That was pretty much it on that. I'll have some more information on some of the tower projects that are going to be off into the future. But I'll have some information probably, if not at the next meeting, probably the meeting after that. Still following up on some radio communications tower stuff. Other than that, we're just got through the holidays and looking forward to, as you can tell, most everybody's got projects. They kind of are hitting the ground running already. And you know, there's facilities projects. We've got those are just the ones we're going to be doing first quarter, but there's a bunch more in facilities. Highways is going to have a bunch more. There's going to be plenty to do this year.
But hopefully this keeps up this El Nino pattern and we can get early starts spring projects.
Exactly. Yeah, they're saying, again, the long-range forecast is that the summer's supposed to be warm and dry.
Right.
Because we're getting all the moisture. If that's the case, that would be good for a lot of projects.
And warm mountains. I know. Bad for our tree removal, but I mean, there is no frost.
Right.
And that could be damaging at the golf course, too. You just don't know what happens with. I mean, if we had no snow cover and then had sub-zero with no frost, we'd have a lot of damage, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
Thank you, Ray. Anything else anybody has?
Bill? I have something to bring up unless someone else has something they'd like to say first. I'll just take a moment of your time. This committee in Kenosha County in general has had quite a history of being what I would call progressive. Even just as we talk in this room, you know, Katy Park, sustainable natures of that, that's a, you know, kind of a cool different thing. The mountain bike trails at Silver Lake, again, you know, done with volunteer funding, usable for all, a little bit different. The disc golf, John was very involved with that, and Matt as well. Again, kind of a world-class, you know, different things out there. So I was having my lunch in my office, and I came across a little article in Time Magazine. When I saw this article, I just about bust out laughing because I thought, this is a joke. It's not really anything new. It's not really something that's going on. It's a fad. Well, the more I looked into it, I found it wasn't a fad. It's really something that's up and coming. So I'm not saying I'm a proponent of this, but I'm saying at least this committee could take a look at this and see if it would fit into something that might work in Kenosha County. So I'll pass these around. Each one can take one. Read this first, and then Matt has a short video that he'll show to you after you've had a chance to look at this.
I've seen this and heard quite a bit of it.
Really? It was brand new to me. I thought it was, you probably gained some with it more than all of us here, but just take the time to read through there for a moment or two, and then we'll do the video presentation. So this is from Time Magazine. What's it say? September of this year? September
searching for a new sport, try this. It's golf with a soccer ball. It's called foot golf. Widely popular in Europe and South America, and finally making its way to the United States, all thanks to this guy.
being able to enjoy in a golf course kicking a ball with my friends and family, I think it's fantastic.
That's right, foot golf, and it's just like it sounds. Golf and soccer combined.
We have so many people playing golf and playing soccer in this area.
We thought it was an incredible opportunity to be able to introduce a new sport into the U.S. I mean, how many people get a chance to do that?
So we introduced foot golf in Northern California as a part of our 2013 tour.
And it's played at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex in Sacramento, which is currently the only foot golf course in Northern California.
When foot golf was presented to me, it was very exciting because I'm always looking for new ways to draw people into the game of golf or to the golf course. Golf, is, in general, struggles to get people in their 20s and in their teens that maybe don't think golf seems exciting to come out and experience the environment we have. And foot golf seemed like a great avenue to target the soccer community. So we're excited to get it started, and we're hoping that the industry really jumps on board.
Olé, 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 olé. Foot golf!
That's very surprising.
Golf style, because we play in a golf course. We really have the environment set up. We have tee time systems, phone calls to call in, to book your reservation, pro shop staff that check golfers and foot golfers in, carts to use. I mean, the structure is all here.
We've been so fortunate to have very good golf courses and golf course managers that have just embraced us and embraced this sport. It's been a really good collaboration.
Foot golf really isn't that different from regular golf. If you're a golfer, there's no better feeling than hitting a shot just like this. How's that feel, man?
Amazing! It's the best game in the world.
And if things go according to plan, everyone will think so, and the game will grow.
We really hope that other courses in our area see the benefits and build a foot golf course as well. If it's going to be sustainable and popular, there has to be options for people. They can't just be at one place that they play. They have to be able to play at different courses and compare things just like regular golf. In both games, you're really measuring how hard to hit the ball, how far to hit the ball. You're measuring where you want to land it and how it's going to bounce and how fast the greens are. So a soccer player has a real advantage because they know how to use their foot to manipulate the ball and hit different shots.
It's good. I like it a lot. This is my home course. I like it here. Really fun. Good take.
This is off the hook, man. Like, I love this.
We're having a great time. This is fun, and I can see it as a family type event, you know. Rather than going to the zoo, we can come out and play football.
If there's anything that these two games have in common, it's that they're both a lot of fun.
It's nice to see that everybody has so much fun with it right now, because you've got to get them excited and want to do it. Anybody who's been around Roberto knows his enthusiasm is contagious. He gets everybody excited very fast.
I mean, when you combine the passion and the energy and the joy of soccer with the precision and the elegance of a golf, one game, and it's just amazing. That's what foot golf is for me, the best game I ever played.
So that said, I had a conversation with Matt earlier today. Surprisingly, he was familiar with it. He knew, you know, many of the details about the game, which I certainly don't, but just some small additional information. Did you say there was actually courses close to us?
Milwaukee County does have one or two courses.
Matt, do they do them separately in a park somewhere?
No, they actually have it in the same golf course as regular golfers, so you sign up for the same regular tee times, and it's kind of cohesive between the two. You intermingle golfers with pro golfers. But they have it on smaller scale, par 3 level. It's not really long courses, per se.
It's a separate green.
Yes, it's off to the side, so maybe a dog legs a little bit more, so it doesn't interfere. They don't play on the actual green, from what I understand.
But nobody else can use the hole at that time.
Correct. Right. Yep. So that's your tee time. That's where you play. Yeah. That's your playability on there.
Well, you certainly wouldn't lose too many balls there.
That's true. I probably still would.
So would it work for Kenosha County? We don't know. But at least maybe it's worth investigating. I know Dan has brought up in the past that there seems to be always that crush in the earlier part of the day where tee times are really sought after on the weekends, Saturday, Sunday morning, you don't have enough holes. And then oftentimes, you know, into the afternoon and not a lot going on. So maybe at some future time, if between parks and golf you think it's warranted, you could put this on an agenda item and make it a part of our schedule. We can talk about it again, but I'd rather see us, if possible, be in the vanguard, in the forefront, rather than someone else come in, do it in Kenosha County, and we're like, well, why didn't we look that way? Why didn't we think of that? So, just a thought.
Very good. Anything else for anyone? We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Poole.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Galitsky.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.